Race Car Courage from Strange Ways. You're listening to WMFO Medford. I am Pam, and I have Bill Vox from Strange Ways here in the studio. Hi.
Can they hear me wave?
Can you hear him wave?
Hello.
Wave back if you can.
Hello.
Yes, they can.
One, it's good to see you.
So good to see you.
One, it's good to see you, Suze.
Suze.
Hello. And also Joel. He and I had a good catch up, and good to be back here at in the studio. We were here a couple of years ago, did a live performance right after we kind of put out our EP Walk Away, and kind of disappeared into the world of trying to record an album, which we eventually did.
Which you have done.
Yes.
And we are delighted to have it here. We actually, that track, Race Car Courage, is the title track off this album.
Yes, yes. Race Car Courage, and I think, you know, one of those things that as we talk in the band about the songs and kind of what the album really means, the more I know it sits with me and the more it sits with other people, we found these sort of layers. I mean, it's one of those things that I've heard artists say, I didn't really know what the song was about until it was recorded, and then I heard it like 3 months later. I think there's a bit of that that's gone on, but I think it's a heavy record in some ways that it's kind of really melancholy. The lyrics, there's a lot of loss, I think, not just like the love thing, but there's a bit of talking about loss of my father, but I just think you know, sonically there's a bit of this uplifting layers to it, especially Brad's amazing guitars that really kind of give it the wings, and of course the groove from Jason and Mike, and I'm lucky enough to they let me sing with them.
Well, it seems like your Strange Ways has always struck me as just a lovely, in the tradition of groups that I know that you and I both grew up and came of age listening to, just four lads that genuinely enjoy one another and make great music together.
Yeah.
Which, this is going to make me sound like a tremendous old fart, but surprise, I'm a tremendous old fart. I just don't think that you see that much of anymore. Yeah. It seemed like every group that I really deeply loved in the 80s and 90s, like, oh, what a great bunch of folks that just really like each other and really like making music together. And it just, it's such a pleasure to hear that music and see it performed live, because there is that that interplay there. And that's always been my impression. And this is, I guess, your cue to say, we hate each other, and it's purely contractual.
The band that takes the piss out of each other stays together. But I mean, I honestly think, and I can be, you know, mushy about them. I love them. I love them each, and I think it's not just bromance. I think there's a real care, because I think being in a band is a weird thing anyways, right? And then also opening yourself up to a creative process is a very personal thing to share, and to prepare to fail to put yourself out there to fail is one of the most scary things, and you need to trust the people. I mean, I've been in bands for years, but I've never felt comfortable and open. I mean, we can have Oprah moments here, but in the past 6-7 years of my life, I remember a lot of moments of happiness and loss, and often sometimes I'd get a text or a call, and I'd be in rehearsal with these guys, and not just they've been there, and they're not like. But the music's been there, and then we could always get lost and kind of playing and that sort of that magic moment where, you know, angels enter the room and the music just happens. It's always been there, even if you know, if I feel like crap or someone else, it just feels like rubbish. It's still kind of that bond is there, and we like hanging out with each other when we get to do it, you know. Our trips to Maine, it's pretty funny, like, you know.
No, are they fishing trips, or did I make that up from like a single photograph and just imagined you as having like this very outdoorsman 4-person camping holiday, roasting the fish that you caught that morning for supper?
And you know us too. There's no there's like canoeing, there's grilling, there's a lot of whiskey. Bourbon, a lot of bourbon. That happens. I try to sneak up tequila or mezcal. But it's and a lot of listening to music and random music, and for me it's an education, because I'm the baby of the group, so they've kind of the stuff we really love, and that no wave, new wave, post punk, those things that I think we just naturally are the sound of us. I mean, Brad will share a song, and I'm like, oh my god, and it blows my mind. And I'm like, this is great stuff. You know, I grew up with my dad listening to like ABBA, and then like, you know, Nat King Cole. So it's like, it was a weird. I didn't get the exposure of awesome music like
that. Yeah.
I was, you know. And I'm younger, so I, you know, I got the In Excess kick kind of stuff.
Because you're, are our parents roughly from the same era? My parents were born in the 1930s, and so a lot of the music that my parents listened to around the house was, it felt like two generations removed. Yeah. So I, you know, quote unquote, discovered the Beatles and the Stones and the Who and the Kinks myself, and I was like, this is my music as a kid who was growing up in the 70s, which is, I guess, a little bit weird, but you know, you mentioning.
It's amazing because that's music that kids, an older generation, would be rebelling against your parents with, or whatever, or your parents would have discovered.
Yeah.
Because they would have been 30 or whatever and been like, oh, what's this new stuff? This is really exciting. My parents were born in the 40s, so they're, my mom's about 75. But she grew up and she was in California for a bit, so I do remember surf music being there, and some interesting jazz she was into. She was kind of, she liked fashion, and I think there's a little mod influence there. I think if you look at our video for The Hunter, the single we did with Converse, we put together this video, and it's Twiggy and Vespas, right? Things I love, Vespas and, you know, fashion and cool design and things like that. But I think somehow there's a thread there. with that, even though, you know, I don't know, we're kind of unstuck in time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's sort of, you know, yeah. I in high school I was super into a lot of the post-punk goth kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it took me years to realize that my father, being a beatnik and into jazz of that era, it was just a different, same yeah. scene, same black turtlenecks, just a different decade.
It's congruent, though. You think of, like, I think of when I first heard, and when, you know, the whole, like, 10 albums of whatever, like, I'd love to put, you know, it's like, don't put a best of, but the first thing I got was, like, the best of Smith's 1 and 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And that album was amazing. I was always, like, any time there was poetry in music, it was just because, you know, as a angsty teenager growing up in Western Pennsylvania on the mighty banks of the Ohio, you know, all I had was bad poetry, and I taught myself how to play music, so I had two chords and bad poetry, and that's why I loved Velvet Underground, Lou Reed, and then as I knew there was more than two chords, there was REM, there was the Smiths, I always loved The Cure, a lot of that stuff, and I always loved pop, because, you know, the hooks, you
yeah.
know? Give me Michael Hutchins, man. That guy had swagger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Now, we were chatting just before we went on air. We were talking about your involvement in the local art scene as well
yeah.
as the local music scene. And you're talking about sort of threads that follow through.
Yeah.
And thinking about, you know, your mother being into fashion and your work in the art scene and obviously your work in music.
Yeah.
There are strands that follow through all of those.
Yeah, I think and I can have a hour long conversation with or without alcohol involved about kind of how Boston is changing and evolving and how we've seen it change, not just in the past couple years, 10 years or whatever. I first came here as a student at Emerson, and there was still the combat zone, and, you know, North End was like trying to get to Middle Earth. It was a journey, but things have changed. The economy has changed. The industries are starting to shift a bit. Good things you see the rise in these art galleries, especially in the SOA area. There was art gallery opening in January of a friend of mine, and he had drawings of John Lennon, and I think seeing a couple of people from the music scene here there at the opening was beautiful to me, because it should not be siloed. I think the music scene here in Boston is beautiful. It's sad that more places keep closing down and there aren't venues. I mean, I don't know, other than maybe Jacques Underground in downtown Boston, a place where local music can go play. Am I?
Well, and Jacques hasn't been booking lately.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So there's a definite dearth. And I mean, in talking, as you're talking about the interplay between the art scene and the music scene, a number of my favorite venues in yeah. the greater Boston area are galleries that yeah. also have bands come in, places that either are primarily galleries or are conceived of, for example, Uncharted in Lowell, that is a partnership of being a gallery as well as a venue, with the idea that you're bringing in artists from a number of different media.
Yeah. So there's this new gallery I mentioned called Cabinet with a K and two T's. Very worth checking out. And the artists they have, especially this gentleman, one of the artists that's featured in the latest show, did the music video for, Talking Heads for David Byrne.
Oh, wow.
And so there's talk, and I think we'll work out the date, but Strange Ways, we'll play a show there at the gallery. Especially, I think it's fitting that more that the arts can come together like this, the better it is. Because as middle class and lower middle class and artists get priced out of living in like Central Square in Boston, it's really important that where there are these areas of art that we engage. It's really cool what the MFA is doing about reaching out through their Up All Night program. The amount of people that go to it is amazing, and the diversity of the city that's there is unbelievable. And I think art should not be capital A. It should be accessible. It should be everywhere. You should be able to get it, you know? And so I think a lot of people who are involved in the arts here in Boston really feel that way. And I know the MFA has done a lot of big things of trying to think about how can they make it a place that people want to go where it doesn't feel like it's a capital A. That it's a little A, that people can go, it's accessible, and it's not for rich people or like highly educated people that know, art movements of the early 20th century, you know? So that's the good stuff. But I'm still like, you know, I see all, there's a lot of talent here in Boston. And I mean, this show is a good example of the bands you play are people I know when I see out at shows, when I can get out. And there's a lot of talent. People have a lot of things to say. And it would be great that, you know, when I tell people that I sing in a band in Boston, they're like, oh, there's music, there's bands in Boston, and just like steam comes out of my ear, right? I'm like, yes, seek it out. There's, but then you realize the only typical way that the non-typical persona who sees live music will go to things like the Beehive or Beat Hotel.
Yeah,
right. They don't charge at the door. There's the liquor covers for everything, I'm sure, and the food. But they do feature live music every night. And so people do love live music. And they're willing to pay to be in a place for it. So it's the economic model needs to sort out. And I know I can go on a bit about this. But I hope that someone and people find that it's worth investing in. That if you look at places like the Beehive where it's packed, where people enjoy just being around. I mean, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be jazz or world music. People want good quality music. And that's what this show brings to me. Full circle.
I so appreciate
in
that.
In a bow. Delicious.
Delectable, darling.
Mm.
I really wanted to... Now, I don't know how long you're able to stick around with us.
I can hang as long as you guys want me here.
Well, we are delighted to have you here. We are closing in on the magic hour of our 10:20 p.m. concert report with Ms. Zoos.
Yes. Good times.
Good times. Who will share with you all of the good times information. Shall we listen to another track off the latest Strange Ways album?
Yeah.
And then talk about what shows are happening? And then we can bring it back around to we can continue our conversation, our exploration, our sensation.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop it right there.
Oh, sounds like an NXS song.
I was inspired. Thank you, Michael Hutchins.
Oh my gosh.
Fabulous.
What's this track?
I was gonna play Calyptra.
Oh, Calyptra is a rocket of a song. It's It's definitely put it on your run mix, and it kind of, yeah, it's what can I say? It's a rocket of a song.
All right, folks, jump up on your feet. Get ready.
Jack's Abbey. We stole the Calyptra from a Jack's Abbey bottle.
Don't tell anyone.
We don't know how to name our songs.
It's top secret. Right here, Strange Ways off their latest album, Race Car Courage. This song is Calyptra. We have Bill Vox from Strange Ways in the studio. We also have Miss Suze, who's going to be coming at you right after this track with the concert report. But first, Calyptra.
Thank you.
Oh, hello. I'm Suze, and here's your On the Town with Mikey D, Boston Concert Report for the upcoming week. Happy birthday today to the Rationale's Dave Mirabella. If you'd like to wish if you'd like to wish him a happy birthday, you are in luck. The Rationales are at the Lizard Lounge tomorrow night with Sinnott and Ricky Lewis. Doors open at 8:30. And one more for tomorrow night. Emo Night Boston returns with resident DJs Luke O'Neill and Nick Grieco at 9:30. Luke is formerly of the famous local dance night The Pill and currently in the band No Hope, No Harm. On Friday, April 13th, the Curtis Mayflower are at Atwoods in Cambridge starting at 9 p.m. And I might like that band, quite possibly, perhaps. You can wish the Curtis Mayflower singer Craig Rodding an early happy birthday at the show. It's his birthday 2 days later on Monday. And then Friday the 13th also, it's the birthday of Boston's own Will Daly.
Yay!
Will has a new album coming out in a couple months, and the first single, It Already Would Have Not Worked Out By Now, is, quite frankly, goddamn delightful. Hunter wasn't able to make it in as in-studio guests tonight, but you can catch them on Friday at the Bounty in Nashua, if you're in New Hampshire on Friday night. And one of my favorite Boston voices, Kelly Davis Power and her band Roswell, are at Waxy's Irish Bar in Lexington on Friday at 8. Kelly was in Boston rock and soul band Old Jack. And then on Saturday, April 14th, if you want some afternoon good times, check out Jittery Jack and Miss Amy Griffin with Johnny... You know what? I don't know how to pronounce Johnny's last name. I just realized this. Schiazia, maybe? They have a matinee party 4 to 6 p.m. at Atwoods. Later on Saturday night, there's another birthday show. This time it's Amanda White, who stopped by On the Town with Mikey D last week. She's celebrating her birthday at the Lily Pad in Cambridge with her friends, the James Rocket, who are in town from New York City. Doors open at 10. And then in Somerville on Saturday night, Eyewitness is upstairs in the Once Lounge with Long Gone and Hammer and Snake. The lounge opens at 6 p.m. for pool, pinball, and hanging out. And then the music starts at 8:45. If you need some 70s and 80s soft rock jams in your life, because frankly, who doesn't? The Sinclair is hosting Yacht Rock Night on Saturday from 9:30 until 2 a.m. DJs Lady Speedstick and the Velvet Bellhop will be spinning some of your favorite soft rock. Also, DJ Lady Speedstick is the best DJ name. On Sunday, April 15th, Black Market Flea by Boston Hassle and Ignore Rock and Roll Heroes is back at Massasoit Elks Lodge in Cambridge from noon until 6 p.m. Bluegrass Americana band Sam Reed and the Riot Act return to Sally O'Brien's in Union Square, Somerville, Sunday night at 8. And then over at Atwoods that night, there's Nashville's Ruby Roots and Boston's Lonely Lisa at 9:45. It's Marathon Monday on the 16th, and it's also the birthday of Ajda the Turkish Queen, who is quite lovely. I've recently been learning more about reggae via a friend of mine, so you should go to Bull McCabe's for Ghetto People Band on Tuesday, April 17th at 10. It's also Taco Tuesday at Bull McCabe's that night, and they make delicious tacos.
Tis no problem, man.
Indeed. Salem is a great town to see live music. On Wednesday, April 18th, Zoe Knight's band Mythical Beasts are at Mercy Tavern in Salem. And that's your On the Town with Mikey D, Boston Concert Report. See you out there.
Thank you very much, Suze.
You're very nice. Welcome.
I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Me too.
We also, I should mention, I have some CDs to give away from Grand Evolution, who we just had in the studio. They're performing Saturday, the 21st of April at the Cove in Worcester. So contact us via the On the Town with Mikey D Facebook page or give us a ring at 855-915-WMFO if you would like to get your hot little hands on a free CD. And Bill Vox from Strange Ways, you're still here.
Hello.
I understand that you had some kind of announcement of a public service variety.
Oh, yes. The more you know. You know, I think I found one that's really good, as I just last week apparently had bronchitis. All better.
You sound lovely.
I'm glad you're all better.
Quick recovery.
gives you a little bit of that rock and roll rasp.
Mm.
So this is perfect. Shortness of breath, wheezing, chronic bronchitis. Sound like you, that you should ask your doctor about COPD. More information at www.learnaboutcopd.org. A message from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Is it bad that I just want to listen to you read PSAs for the rest of the night?
Well, for the next 90 minutes, we could make that happen.
You would get all your obligations, your PSA obligations for the year out of the way.
Happily. Yes. That was delightful.
Mike
Good
of
Lord.
Strange Ways is much better. It's his natural British accent that just makes everything sound better when we understand what he says.
And is he marathoning around the world right now?
Am I inflating his
athletic?
No. You're right. He's a runner. I unfortunately need to be more of a runner before I enter my Fat Elvis stage. Which I'm going to Vegas end of the month,
so
it might be time to don a cape and do my live from Maui number. He's running. He's done a bunch of marathons. I think he has the New York or did the New York one, and is just a little speed demon. He's the healthy one of us all. Yeah,
it's remarkable.
Yes. Yes.
Should we listen to another track off the album? Is that good?
Yeah,
is that a good thing?
Sure. How about North Star?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know. Maybe a good one. It's a deep cut. But October Remains, a little story about that.
Please.
I've kind of, in that whole idea of as you figure out what songs mean, I've realized there's each part of the song, it's a bit about loss and saying goodbye to something. And there's a breakdown part in it that I think when we play and when I rehearse it, it kind of becomes a bit more political. But the first verse is really about kind of the loss of losing someone, really about my father that I lost a couple of years ago to cancer. And it was kind of, I always thought it was a very tough subject to write about, and because it's like, how do I approach this? And I've one of my really good friends is a filmmaker and director and scriptwriter and for Hollywood, and I proposed to him a question: is there stuff that's too heavy to approach? And he said no. He said with respect, and in fact, heavy subjects you should write about. I mean, that's how you're going to suss it out, right? And I mean, that's, I think a lot of musicians, all the people that music that's played is music often saves people from themselves, from understanding how the world is and to kind of, set fire to what's inside. And so you can kind of move on. But so this song, there's sort of three parts. And the first one's kind of a bit about losing that. The second is about losing a lover. And then the third is kind of when you lost everything, maybe your beliefs, you lost the structure of a government, or you just feel like your back is against the wall and all you can do is throw a rock in the air. And that's some words from that. But there's this constant, this melancholy constant that remains of October Remains. And it's a deeper song, but I thought, why not give that a go?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you very much for that that introduction to this song. Again, this is Strange Ways. We have Bill Vox from Strange Ways here in the studio. This is off their latest album, Race Car Courage, and this song right here, October Remains.
Thank you. for you. Lovers cry, the poets hide their souls away. Ooh. Then I watch you, then I feel you slip away. October remains. October remains. October remains. But October
song. That song actually got us on a tangent. We were talking about, you know, the well, for me, I always think about these great danceable songs that are about very serious topics, like the Smiths tracks that mean so much to me and I know to you, and so often have an element that's personal and an element that's political. And then talking about birthdays and people you've shared the stage with.
I guess, you know, some of, you know, and some of those things that, like, dancing and being able to actually say something is, I think that's part of I think with Strange Ways being it is in some ways, as I, you know, you mentioned that we really do enjoy being with each other, but there is the crucible of only the strongest song, the strongest words survive. And, you know, we'll, you know, the British saying, take the piss out of each other, but we'll be pretty hard on each other, you know, and, you know, and we'll come up with songs. And there's, you know, when we record a lot of our, you know, we get into the rehearsal space, and I think for the first 20 to 30 minutes, sometimes some of the most beautiful in the moment jams, and not jammy like a Fish song or something, but like really interesting sonic landscapes kind of come, and we're the first ones to say, no, it sounds like this or it sounds like that. Sometimes I'm like, no, that's why it's awesome. No one knows who that band is. But, you know, we, like, a really great example, we in like 10 minutes, you know, and really loving, you know, kind of a lot of the music from Manchester, England. And I know Charlatans meant a lot to Brad, and it is a band that, you know, Jason's drumming, you know, you can hear some of that Manchester beats in there. Mm-hmm. Stone Roses, stuff like that. We threw together like a pretty good Charlatan song in like 10 minutes, and lyrics and everything. And it, we could have right then gone into a studio, and if it was 1994, we would have been on Top of the Pops, you know. But right, you know. But there's that line of like, no, that's not. You know, that's not quite there. That's, you know, that's been done. That's tired. And that's how we take, too, you know, these older influences and these older sounds and try to make it fresh. Because everything now is kind of keyboards and beeps and bops, which I love that stuff, too. I listen to a lot of different music. Mm. But, you know, how do you, you know, the guitars aren't so prevalent in the sonic landscapes that especially that, you know, Brad puts together and that we have as a band, are something that just to me are delicious. And I think, you know, I think people like that stuff, but that's kind of a bit of a tangent, but yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. You know, and when I make references to these bands, especially these Manchester bands who are so seminal and so influential, especially in, you know, a lot of groups that I find really relevant today.
And they never really broke in the U.S.
No.
So when I discovered a lot of that music, it was out of context. So there was never Blur versus Oasis with me. It was like, I'll have it all. You know, I'm mad for it, yeah. I'm mad for it, mate. I'll have it all. Thank you very much. And so there was never... It's so not being able to really break the U.S. market at that time. I mean, I was hungry for music, and there was nothing I dug.
And it's so it as you say, it came completely out of context. And even what I did pick up, like understanding as a teenager, the Blur versus Oasis, the Lagerlöwts versus the art school kids, right? Which you know, I always come out on the art school kids team. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Even those pieces were completely out of context and out of cultural context.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The connections that I was making, you know, when I was traveling abroad and...
it was a class thing in the UK,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah. And making friends with people who were my age saying, God, you know, Pam, your taste in music is like 5 to 10 years out of date because, you know, our age group of people, it was all about, it was much more Happy Mondays and Black Grape. And all that stuff, and
I'm twisting my melon, man.
And I'm like, I don't want my melon twisted. I want to sit in my bedroom and write, you know, terrible poetry to some bucktooth girl in Luxembourg. That's like, that's my scene, man.
Hell yeah.
So it's just it is a funny thing, and I mean it's all what your artistic influences are. I mean the album, and I think part of my brain and my heart going in that direction are the color. Looking at the artwork for this, it does kind of conjure up a little bit of the is it the Hand in Glove?
There's
album
a little bit
cover
of that,
that's sort
there?
Of the color a little bit.
I think, you know, you listen to our music and you would never be like, oh yeah, these guys like you know, the Smiths. You can hear it in some ways. But you don't.
No, it's
even
it's
with
more
the name
of like
a
spiritual.
Joys, right?
Yeah, it's not a musical signpost.
Yeah,
it's like a philosophical or a it's an artistic influence.
That's a good way to put it because they put it. It's in some of my favorite music have been those people that put saw things in a different way. Velvet Underground, right? They were singing about heroin and cross-dressing Andy Warhol art scene things in New York while the Beatles were singing Love, Love Me Too and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And All You Need Is Love. It's like that, like, total, this weird street poetry, but with, you know, and then you'd have like Sunday morning and you're like, wow, that's the most beautiful song with the, you know, Glockenspiel, whatever. But it was, you know, the people who bought that album were in thousands, the low thousands when it came out. And so the things like the Smiths were, you know, maybe art school kids in the U.S. that may have known it, who had a brother who knew a French foreign exchange student or something. You know what I mean? It didn't permeate too much, maybe. And then things like the Stone Roses, these things that were maybe big elsewhere, but those things that were alternative guideposts, I think, for my own education and my own saying, there's someone else out there that, you know, does like those kind of pop melodies, but sees things in a whole different way and kind of does his own thing anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of on my wavelength. It's like, for me, there were a lot of painters that I didn't really appreciate until I saw their work in person and I could see, you know, really see those brush strokes and see how they were using their materials in the same way as like really sitting down and listening with headphones to an album and thinking about, you know, what percussion instruments people were using and stuff like that. Sort of how are you approaching
speaking
your
of
work?
Art, do go see the Egon Schiele exhibit.
I'm so excited.
It's really good. I mean, he is like the Smiths of you know, maybe previous century art of, you know, and especially that time period. I think for me right now is very interesting because it was a time in which the world, there was so much uncertainty and there was so much expression of people who trying to express themselves. And I think artists like that were very interesting. I mean, you read poetry of Rilke. It could be an Ian Curtis lyric from Joy Division.
Absolutely. Whatever, right? And I feel like that is the thread, like, you know, reading William Blake
those were all huge
it all comes back through.
Yeah.
There's that wavelength that people are all kind of vibrating at the same.
Yeah, it's I think it's that uncomfortableness of being where you
yes.
are. It's that being the awkward kid. It's being like Morrissey and is, you know, Egon Schiele, Rilke. It's the not quite right for these times or the place, or I don't want to be invited to that, you know, into the big room, and I'm fine with that, or am I? You know, it's and then kind of seeing the rain, you know,
well,
and embracing it, right?
It's a beautiful album. Yeah. I really and this you released last year.
It was a journey to record. Excuse me. We were originally going to record in another studio almost a year previous than when we did. And then scheduling issues happened. And, you know, you have four other people with lives and jobs and life stuff that happens. And finally we got into Q Division. And we were able to really find some magic there. And I think I had a blast. It was a lot of work. It was great to then spend a couple of weeks not listening to it, or a month or two. Mm. And we had a great producer, Sean Callahan, there, who is just a dove. And, you know, it was really a process of the band where you, I think, because we're used to and appreciate the idea of there's things you let go and there's things that you give up for a common vision. Like, be it me, I'd have like keyboards and acoustic guitars and melodicas and everything because I'm just not right. But, you know, in service to the song, everything we tried to do in service to the song. And I think it holds up. I mean, I'm able to listen to it now and I really enjoy it. And there's other songs I discover, be it when we play it or rehearse it, you know, the riffs of Into the Drift, really hit at some really nice Stone Roses kind of influence, but, you know, also it isn't. There's a lot of interesting sonic stuff there, and we try to take, you know, there's the obvious path with making musical choices, and we tried to do what was true to Strange Ways and true to what we wanted to do is, you know, be comfortable with being ourselves and not having to do, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, you know, key change, and, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All key, that change. Kind of, key, key change.
Key change. Key change. Key change. Guys, key change.
Well, I was really thrilled that you were able to come in tonight, and I'm really enjoying listening.
I can't wait till we have our night talk show.
I'm excited for that to happen, and for you to read some more PSAs.
Yeah, definitely. Are you
able to stick around a little bit longer?
Yeah, I can hang. Yeah, there's a lot we can chat about. And
because I'd like to play another song.
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to hear another PSA from you.
Oh, yes.
I feel like I'm scripting this
whole
thing.
Do you want me to do it in my infamous Christopher Walken?
Yes.
All right. I can do that.
Do you need, would you like a song to warm up to that?
I don't know. What are you guys got here?
Yay.
Little man, have you seen or heard the strange waves? It's good. Good enough for you, old man. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, ever. You want to hear, what would you like to hear? Monster? You want to hear something else? You want to hear... What are you in the mood for?
Yeah.
What are you fired up about?
Yeah, I mean, I love them all. I think I can hear the band saying Monster or North Star.
Okay.
So flip a coin, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm feeling Monster right now. Right. I don't know if it's just because of the Christopher Walken voice. I feel like a monster.
Feel like a gosh darn monster.
Right here, Strange Ways with Monster off their latest album, Race Car Courage. We have Bill Vox from Strange Ways here in the studio with us, and he will remain with us for a bit longer. Monster.